Gone. So Deebo Samuel, because we heard his highlights coming in and we heard him talk and whatnot. Last year after the Eagle game, come in, and I honest to God thought it was one of the greatest, like, let me talk a bunch of smack so I'm writing a check and let me come out and cash it on your face, when he came out and basically dismantled Philadelphia and ruined their season. And it catapulted the Niners and they never looked back. It was an all-time, like, this is who I am type of a game. Yesterday, watching Deebo take that house call early in the game, it was a tone setter, and it was just another reminder. Like, Frank Gore's career, we can go, there's a lot of great runs, amazing runs. Frank Gore, all-time player. Jerry Rice has probably the longest montage of long touchdown runs of anyone that I can think of. My God, Deebo Samuel, when we're going to look back at his career, he has got some 5-yard, 10-yard plays that he takes to the house, but he has so many deep balls he takes to the house, too. His montage of 50-plus yard touchdowns is going to be 10 minutes long.
You know what's funny is, I remember before that Philadelphia game, we got a lot of calls saying, well, Deebo better step up. He's been talking. And my thought is, in the Niners' biggest games in the last 5 years, for the most part, Deebo Samuel always produces. He's had all-time games and all-time moments. All time. And so when it comes to big games, I'm actually surprised when he doesn't produce, like the Super Bowl. I'm surprised when he doesn't produce, like the divisional round game, but he got knocked out of that due to the shoulder injury. Deebo Samuel's an all-timer when it comes to the 40. And it's funny, we had Rob Stats-Guerin, who doesn't believe he's an all-time Niner. But when you look at these big plays, how many players in this league can take a 5-yard hitch and go 70 yards? How many players can take a wide receiver screen 80 yards? How many players can high point a football and then go 76 and outrun linebackers and DBs, even though he's not going to tear your clocks up when it comes to 40-yard dashes? Deebo Samuel with Kyle Shanahan, and the fact is that he's lining up in the backfield and playing running back at times, kind of help alleviate some of the load of a Jordan Mason when he's carrying the ball and he's being physical and trucking over to us. It's like, hey, we got to spell Mason. They go to Deebo, and he's running tough between the tackles. A couple times he got popped. I'm thinking, damn, we got to run Deebo between the tackles like this? But he does whatever he has to do to help this football team win games more times than not. So Deebo Samuel's an all-time Niner. In his last 8 games against Seattle, again, when it comes down to your divisional opponents, do you step up and play well? Well, in the last 8 games against Seattle, he scored 8 touchdowns. He's had 877 yards on 49 catches. So against Seattle, he saves his best for last. He's cooked Seattle alongside George Kittle and company.
It feels like every time this team needs somebody to step up and they're like one nail away from being slammed into the casket on the season, this dude just pops up out of nowhere and just carries them.
How about this? In the last 8 Seattle games, or last eight games against Seattle, 6 of those games, Deebo Samuel's gone for over 100 yards receiving. So whether he's a running back, wide receiver, I just call him a playmaker and a game changer. And in the last 8 tries against Seattle, he's changed the game multiple times.
The only thing I hesitate. I know why you do it, and I like it in certain situations. And I get yesterday because if everyone was hurt and you didn't want to like lose Garendo on that play. Don't love him as the kick returner. He did it, I think, twice, yeah, if not 3 times yesterday. He got blasted on one of them.
Never have. I don't want him on punt return or kickoff return. He's too important to this offense.
I think there's a time and a place, and it's late in the season or in a must-win situation like yesterday. Again, didn't love it, but I get why you do it.
Yeah, no, I don't love it. I don't love it at all. Let's go to the Lions. JJ, San Jose. JJ, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Good morning. Hell of a win for the Niners. Even on the broadcast, they were kind of saying it, that the win would mean more for the Niners because of the implications or whatnot. But I just want to get to a couple of things. It's nice to see them finally go over 30, because I honestly thought that the talk around the offense was that that was the standard to at least break 30 every so often. I remember, Bonte, you were saying last year, not granted with CMC, they were probably the top offense since the 94 team or whatever. But it was good to see them come through, and even for the defense to close the game out like that. But here's my worries, though. This team is still showing its inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. And here's what I mean. The second half for the past 3 games has been our worst enemy. With Green making that pick, kind of flipped the script on that. But without him making that play, you know, it was the same old story the past couple weeks. Here's my other thing that worries me about the inconsistency. Debo had a great game. I believe that these players are good enough to be consistent in having these at least similar to kind of games week by week, and we're just not seeing it this week. So I think next week, we'll get there. This was a good stepping stone win for a huge measuring point game next week. Yep. They got to stay consistent and come through next week. Because what happens, Vontae, when we, you know, come next week and
break it up a little bit, JJ. We've got some breaking news from Adam Schefter. NFL's leading rusher, 49ers running back Jordan Mason, is believed to have suffered a sprained AC joint during Thursday night's win at Seattle that is not considered serious. But he will undergo further testing today, so we'll get a timeline on that. But right now, it's a sprained AC joint in his shoulder that Mason is dealing with. So we'll get an injury report later on Jordan Mason after he has another MRI and undergoes further testing. But Jordan Mason right now with a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder.
Is this Debo's fifth or sixth season technically? Because he was drafted in 2019. So 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and I guess this would be six. Yeah. So this is the middle of six. I mean, he's already at 40 touchdowns. He's probably going to, what do you think? You think he gets to 50 in a Niner uniform? It's going to be tough to do it this year, but you're looking at him and George Kittle having overlapping careers, and both are going to be in the top 10 when it's all said and done for their tenure in total touchdowns in a 49er uniform. That's pretty impressive.
I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
I think George Kittle, as we talk about Deebo Samuel, and I don't know where he's going to slot in terms of, you know, wide receivers with the 49ers, but in terms of just playmaking ability and game changers,
football players, yeah.
He's a top 10 game changer in 49er history. He may be entering top 5 game changers / playmaking ability in 49er history. And there's a lot. Look, there's Jerry Rice, there's T.L., there's Roger Craig, there's Christian McCaffrey, Frank Gore, if you want to put him in that category.
Hugh McElhaney.
One of
the great highlight. I mean, I know, but he's one of the great highlight players of all time.
But Deebo Samuel might be right there. When it's all said and done, Deebo Samuel, when it's all said and done, could it be a top 10 playmaker offensively for the 49ers in franchise history? Just think about the last 6 years as a rookie, helping his team get to the Super Bowl.
He's been amazing. But your point is well taken. I know we forget about the Ken Willards and the Gene Washingtons are never going to get the love. These guys racked up great numbers in an era where they just didn't score a lot of touchdowns.
Well, you think
know,
about this.
I look at someone like Dwight Clark. Like Dwight Clark had an incredible career and was highly productive. So like I know Debo's amazing.
How about this though with Debo? He became the first wide receiver in NFL history with at least 20 rushing touchdowns and 20 receiving touchdowns in his career.
See, now that's interesting to me because what he is, it's different. It's very different. But what he is kind of what I wanted Percy Harvin to be coming out of Florida, but he's way more physical than Percy Harvin.
Harvin was physical. He just had the migraine issue and he had an injury history.
Debo's Percy load.
Was so
Percy was great.
Percy
but
was
this
great.
Is what I thought he could do.
So, you know, again, he's in a league of his own when it comes to that. He's in a league of his own. And in his last 8 games against Seattle, we look at what you do within the division. How do the Rams feel about Deebo Samuel?
Oh, they hate him.
Right? He's had monumental games against the LA Rams. Yeah. Well, in his last 8 games against Seattle, again, 877 yards on 49 catches and 8 touchdowns. In 6 of the 8 games, he's had over 100 yards. And then you bring up George Kittle.
George Kittle's so good.
Is there any tight end you're taking in 49ers franchise history over George Kittle?
Look, I'm holding out. Like, Vernon Davis has more touchdowns than him, but George is a better player than him. I think he's a more complete player than him and just a better player overall. Vernon was a great player. Vernon had the drops. He did, but he was also the premium weapon on a team without a lot of other premium weapons. Like Crabtree had 1 year overlapping the Vernon, you know, maybe a year and a half overlapping it. They were dying for playmakers in the red zone. So he was primarily outside of Frank, your number one guy. For George Kittle to do this when you have Ayuk and McCaffrey and Debo, that's the part that I'm like, what? Well, if he was on a team, like let's say if we would have flip-flopped it and Kittle would have been on those teams that Vernon was on, I think Kittle would have 65 touchdowns by now.
Think about it. Vernon Davis was a 6th overall pick in the first round coming out of Maryland. He was expected to be great. We didn't know who George Kittle was when he was drafted in the 5th round in 2017. Oh, an Iowa tight end. Okay, cool. Maybe they're big. Maybe he could block. Well, George Kittle has been an all-time Niner, and his numbers are going to rank up there with the best of the best. And you think about what he's done against Seattle. In his last six games against Seattle, he got 26 catches, 464 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. And he saves his best for when they travel up there to Seattle. So I don't know if I'm taking a tight end above George Kittle in 49ers franchise history. When you think about it wasn't the catches, the great touchdown catch on the first one where he runs the out route, Purdy throws a laser beam, a dime, and George Kittle shows great footwork and hands. It's the block he had on Julian Love early in that football game to pancake him and just drive him into the turf. Like, that's a tone-setting point where it's like, this guy blocks, he catches, he talks trash, he has fun, and he's a leader on this football team. And more so than anything, he really enjoys being a member of the San Francisco 49ers. You could tell it means a lot to him to be a Niner.
Well, he's a more impactful player, but he reminds me so much of like what Pablo Sandoval meant to those Giants teams. Yep. Like the heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Like when that guy gets a hit, it means more to the dugout. And I look at someone like Kittle, when he plows somebody, you've referenced it a few times, but he goes near the sidelines and he plows a couple guys. He can easily go out of bounds.
Looking for contact.
It just sets the tone for everybody else in the team. Look, this is the reality of George. The way he plays, he's going to go into the blue tent. Mm-hmm. He's going to, like in the final quarter, I think he went back to the locker room twice.
Right.
And then he comes out, he catches a touchdown. Yep. He's going to get hurt. He's going to miss games, but you want that guy on your team when push comes to shove. And there's nobody else I want in a foxhole more than him.
No doubt about it. Let's go to the line.